Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Friday night. This is January of 2014, and this is our first broadcast in the new year. We hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas and New Year's. And we don't make resolutions, but we determine that we're going to do more for God than we've ever done. And this is Macedonian Call around the globe coming to you. I'm Sister Green, Joanna Green, and my husband, Evangelist Clint Green, and our daughter, Rachel Green. She's 10 years old, and we thank the Lord for her. And, we are going to train up a child in the way they should go, and when she gets old, she's going to stay with the Lord and never depart from Him, and her days will increase, the days of her life. And I just thank the Lord, praise Him. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Hallelujah. We're battling sickness. We've got colds and pneumonia and just doctors' reports, but we believe in the report of God, of the Lord, and we believe we by His stripes that we are healed. Many prayer requests for many colds and lungs, congestions and sore throats and coughing, all kind of stuff, fevers, just praying that the Lord will touch our bodies and your bodies and make us all well so we could do a great work for God, for we are one body in Christ Jesus, praise God. How many know we are His church, we are His people, and tonight we're talking about who is the real seed of Abraham. If you'd like to be part of this broadcast, we encourage you to call in at 347-989-8862. Again, it is 347-989-8862. And we just ask that you guys pray for us, and we'll pray for you. If you want to reach us by email, it is heisrisen38@aol.com. Again, it is heisrisen38@aol.com. And like I said earlier, we've got a lot of prayer requests that we want to bring out. We want to pray for Maria Sinners. Pray for all those who are sick with this flu virus, she says. Sandra Davis, she said, pray for Wendell, that's her husband, and she says, thank you. Jackie Bergens says, please pray for her grandson, Matthew. He will be having surgery on Wednesday. Laura McKnight seeking God's direction, wanting a better paying job. Want to stay in God's will. Alyssa Rutter says, pray for a friend that lost his dad a few months back, and yesterday when he went to get his dad's dog from his house so he wouldn't freeze in the negative temperatures overnight, he found that he had passed on. Also, pray for her friend is battling depression, which is affecting her life greatly. Judy Hall says, pray for her husband Danny, and also pray for Jordan. Bonnie Burke says, please pray. Says, remember her husband. He's going to go through some kind of treatment. He needs prayer to be strong and able to help him. And the rest of the family, lost loved ones, need the Lord. As we know, time is running out. God bless your ministry. Also, my daughter has to have throat scope, having lots of problems with it again. And thank you and God bless, she says. And I'm going to stop right there. We've got a whole bunch more as they come in. We're going to read them off, but we've got a lot more than that. And God knows our need. And at this time, we are going to have Rachel. She's going to come in. She's going to read her scripture again. This here broadcast is about who is the real seed of Abraham. And if you want to be part of the broadcast, we would love to hear from you, any testimony or prayer requests you might have, or if you want to share your scriptures with us. We do go by the King James Bible only. To us, that's the only Bible. Praise God. 347-989-8862. And here's Rachel.
By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
Praise God. So proud of her. And that's what the subject is about tonight, is who is the real seed of Abraham. Praise God. We have a caller here. Looks like 661, come in and tell us who you are and where you're located.
Hi, Sister Green. This is Sister Gladys in Moorhead. Can you hear me or not? This is a new headset.
Yes, you sound wonderful. Clint just gave us a thumbs up. You sound real good.
Good. I may be a little bit off your subject. I was glad to hear Sister Rachel. I was running a little bit late tonight. I'm always blessed when I get to hear her sweet voice on here. I had understood this was the seeds of Abraham. I just praise God that we have been grafted in. And I thank him that it's not just the Jews that the Lord is after. It's after the Gentiles also. I praise him tonight. I wanted to start off in Romans 4, 13 through 17. I had it printed off, and, of course, it's in my printer right now, so I'm just going to run through my scriptures in my Bible. They're right before me. You just hold on here. Sorry about that. I had it all printed off, and I'm in another room. Everyone can start off themselves with verse 13. It's for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. One thing I want to say is we're no longer under the law, but people believe that they need to just cut out the old Bible, but I don't believe that. I believe that we can learn a lot of things from the old saints back in the Old Testament Bible and combine it with the New Testament and learn great lessons from all of it. All of it is true. The Holy Ghost spoke to those men that wrote the word, and I agree that we need to follow after their testaments and the things that we can learn from their mistakes and the things that they did right. In verse 16, it says, therefore, is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. You know, this is one scripture, Sister Green, that we need to hold on to today. Is there someone in our lives that we want to speak positive things over? Life and death lie in our tongues, and I know that I've done it with my children. If they're not serving God in the way that the Bible says that they should, then I speak positive things over their lives. I speak that they will preach the Word of God, and they will rise above all of the things that they're going through. I also speak over sickness. I speak life into the bodies when there seems to be death. As far as marriages, you can speak life into a dead situation. I've talked to young couples recently and let them know that you can't go by what we see. We have to speak those things which are not as though they were. And in verse 18 it says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded, that's what we have to be, fully persuaded, that what he had promised, he was able to also perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. When he was promised that Isaac would come, he knew in his heart, even though his body, when he looked at his body, he looked at Sarah's, he knew that that couldn't be a possibility. In our carnal minds, we look at things today and think, well, that couldn't happen. That couldn't be possible. But with God, he promised us in his word that all things are possible. And, you know, when the Lord had showed him in other scriptures that he would be a father to many nations, that he would be a father like the sands of the sea. And there's many sands upon the sea. If anyone's ever gone out to a beach, they know that there are too many to number. He said that the stars in the sky, they're just too vast of a number for him to even count. But we have to hold dear to all of God's promises. I want to go further on down to Galatians 3, 7 through 9. But before I do that, I want to go back to Romans 4, 16. Therefore, it is of faith. If we have the faith to believe that Jesus came and died upon the, you know, that he came into a fleshly form, a human form, and he died upon the cross, and he died for our sins, and he rose again. You know, he shed his blood for us and rose again. Then we are blessed to come into this, to be one of his children by the grace, the covenant of grace. And I thank God for that. That's what makes us join ears with Jesus. We become grafted in. We are Gentiles in the eyes of man, but with God's mind, he joins us all together. He doesn't consider us Jew or Gentile. And then I want to go further down into Galatians 3, verses 7 through 9. I pray I don't take too much time, but these are the scriptures that God gave me this evening. And in 7 through 9 it says, know ye therefore, for that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We join in with Abraham in the covenant that God made with Abraham. I want to go on to Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. If we believe it and believe that Jesus rose again and we ask him into our hearts and we repent of our sins, then that brings us into the body of Christ. That brings us in to be one of Abraham's children. And I want to go down to verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Jesus promised us that if we do what Abraham did and we have faith in the Lord and believe in God, and we believe, I know that today we have to believe in the Trinity. There are three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and we become one in the Lord. I want to finish off my scripture, Sister Green, with Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as one of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. I want to go further down to 3:23 through 29. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I praise God for that promise, Sister Green. If it wasn't for the promises and the covenant that Jesus and God made to Abraham, we couldn't live in the times of today. The way the law was set up, we would all die because we would make one mistake, and a lot of times we would have been stoned. But I praise God for the blood that was shed on Calvary. Because of the sins that I had, he bore them on the cross for me. He bore all of my burdens and my sadness and my weakness and my burdens and my diseases. I praise God for that because the law couldn't cover all of that. The law put us in bondage, but the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ has set us free. I magnify him for that. I thank God that we are joint heirs with Jesus, and I praise God that we are the children of Abraham. Yes, we are many generations away from where Isaac started. I praise God that I'm grafted in. I thank God that I'm part of his children. I thank God that we are heirs of Jesus Christ and the covenant that he once made. I pray that somehow something I've said would reach out to someone to let them know that no matter where you are today or where you feel like you've fallen away from God, you can be a backslider, but Jesus still, he's in covenant with the backslider. He said he's married to the backslider. I was once at one time a backslider, but Jesus still loves you. No matter how low we go or how high we go in this thing, Jesus still loves us. There's no big I's and little U's. Jesus considers us all to be his children. If we live right, if we follow the word of God, and we do what he says to do, then we can go high places with him. We can go where he says that we can go. He can bless us the way he wants to bless us, but we have to stay within covenant with him. We have to do what the word says. We can't put our foot over the line where Jesus says not to go. We have to walk and do this right. We have to follow as the word says to do. We're not our own once we become under the blood of Jesus Christ. We become his children, and we're supposed to do what he asks us to do. I give God all glory, and I thank you, Sister Green, for inviting me to join you tonight. I thank you for letting me be a part of the broadcast. I'll turn it back to you.
Praise God, Sister Gladys. We always enjoy listening to you. You was right on the subject there. You think you thought you didn't have it, but you do have it. And I praise the Lord for your help. We thank you. And, you know, this is a ministry for 2014 that we just want us to go forth and just to reach people that are lost and, like you said, that are backslid. And if you're listening to us right here, right tonight, I don't care if you're in a third world country, if you're in the United States, and you once knew Jesus as your Savior, it's not too late for you to come back and give your heart to him again and get about the Father's business and take your hand and put it to the plow and do work once again for Jesus, for he is our Lord and Savior. Praise God. And we've got more prayer requests here tonight. Patty Love says, Please remember her brother James. He has been real sick with pneumonia and COPD. Also, her sister Angie is not feeling great either. Also, pray for her daughter Amanda. Keep her in your prayers. She has been going through some personal problems, and pray that her husband Alan gets saved. Johnny Grigsby says pray. His left jaw is swollen like a golf ball. He says, need prayer. The swelling will not go down, he says. Jerry Bowens, he's a cousin of mine. He says, mine is simple request, cuz. He says, I've been coughing, hacking, throat sore for over a week. He says, pray for me. Then he says, he's telling Johnny Grigsby that he's sending up prayer for him. Ashley Wolf says, prayers that God will keep his hand on the baby and will be born healthy. So remember that. Praise God. Bridget Noel Lynn says, I am with my mother in the ER. She is in a lot of pain and lethargic. Her lungs are full of congestion. And she said, thank you. That's been about maybe an hour ago. Karen Wilson says, pray for Tim. That's her husband, that he's been sick. Carla Locke said, pray for the nursing home ministry. Pray for the lost, the homeless, and let's pray that we never fail to lead someone to Christ. Also, Shorty Nichols says, pray my son-in-law has the flu, and my daughter-in-law and son all have been sick. Please remember them in prayer. Also, a cousin of mine has turned in prayer requests for her son down in Louisiana. I won't mention his name because I told her I wouldn't, but he is going through something. He needs God now more than ever, she says. So remember that. And also pray for Sister Judy Jones. She's asking us to pray for, I believe I turned that prayer request in for her husband, Brother Danny, and Jordan. Also, pray for them. Praise God. And this time we're going to come to you with a song, and we sure hope it blesses you. Praise God. God, I feel the Holy Ghost when I hear that song. I tell you, if anybody's going to make it, surely we will. Sister Gladys was talking to you about having faith that we are the children of God, and that's what it takes, is the faith. Praise the Lord. And I want to start out here by in Genesis. I want to talk to you a little bit, Genesis 4 and 25. I'll start out with my scriptures here, and then I'll just go with it from there, however the Lord leads, whether it be a teaching or whether it be preaching, praise God, however God wants this to come out. But, you know, in verse 25 of Genesis, verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So here we know the story about Cain and Abel, and how Cain slew Abel, and how the Lord saw that Abraham Adam and Eve would have another child, and this would be Seth. In Genesis chapter 4, let me start this all over again. Genesis 4 and 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So Genesis 4 and 26 says, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Genesis 28, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Panarim. to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, and that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac went away, and Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan-Aram and to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan-Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan-Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau to Ishmael to take unto the wives which he had, Mahalalel, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sisters of Nebojoth, to be his wife. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and sent toward Haran. It's Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, in the land wherein thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoke to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took a stone that he had put for his pillows and sat it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it and called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. And here I was thinking about in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus was talking to Peter, and he says this, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now we were reading here earlier how Cain had slayed Abel, and then God let Adam and Eve have another son named Seth, and Seth, he had a son named Enoch, praise God, And then those days, that's when men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And we know how the promise was given to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And here we see Jacob in the ladder and how he said that the promise would be to your seed.
Mm-hmm.
And said as many from the east, the west, the north, and the south. Praise God. But you know how that's us today, how he said, upon this rock, he was talking to Peter, talking about himself. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And how Jacob, he was there, he had lie down in that place he called Bethel, which is, means the house of God. And how we go now to the house of God. Praise the Lord. And I just love the Lord. I need us to pray right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, I ask you to remove all hindrances in the name of Jesus, all coughing, all everything, Lord, I rebuke all sicknesses. I rebuke the thoughts being scattered in the name of Jesus. God, help this word. God, help your word to come forth, dear Lord, the way you would want it to. So back in the day when Jacob, he saw the ladder and the angels were ascending to heaven to and fro, and how God showed him that it was many from the north, east, west, and the south, praise God, and how they had to go. They didn't have Christ yet. They didn't have the Messiah, but they were looking. You know, the Old Testament was a type and a shadow. At Seth, they begin to call upon the name of the Lord. And then, you know, Moses comes along. The promise comes to Abraham and his seed and his seed's seed. And many is the dust of the earth, or the sand of the sea. Praise God. It'd be the promise to the children. And how Esau, he went and he found him a wife. Praise the Lord, of Abraham, of Ishmael, of the bondwoman. And, you know, we're of the free. We know we're the free because we're through Christ, praise God, and through Sarah's seed, praise the Lord, and Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, praise God, and how they had to go by the laws of the land, and they were under the old covenant. And, you know, and as Moses led the children out of Egypt and led into the wilderness there where they stayed 40 years, and how Joshua and Caleb, they led them finally over. They got to cross Jordan and go into Canaan land. And, you know, we sing songs today about Beulah land and the Mount Zion and Canaan land. And we can see that as Canaan land and the natural as being a type and shadow of heaven. Of where there's not going to be no pain and there's not going to be no sickness. There's not going to be death over there, praise God. And you know how the Israelites, they came into this land called Canaan, and there after a while, after 400 and something years later, it become a nation, a Jewish nation. It become Israel, praise God. But what it only thing that meant that as they were God-fearing people and that they loved God, praise the Lord. But when Jesus came on the scene, the new covenant, they didn't want to lay down the old law. They wanted to stick with the law. And they wanted to find Jesus, fought with Jesus. They wanted to, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious people, they wanted to keep the doves and the turtle doves, and they wanted to still do their sacrifices, and they still wanted to keep the ways of the law. Even to the point where they brought a woman caught in the very act of adultery, and they wanted to see what Jesus would do. They was trying to catch him again at the law. Praise God. But you know, Jesus, he came that he fulfilled the law. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That through him that we can be saved, and there's mercy and grace, and the mercy door is open. Praise God. And I was thinking how Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock, talking about Jesus himself, because Peter had the interpretation, he had the revelation of who Jesus was. Praise God. And only, the Jews, the natural Jews, They didn't get it. Some of them didn't get it at the time, and they didn't see that Christ was the Messiah. And today they don't see that Christ is the Messiah. If they come out of that, because today is the day of salvation, then they'll be saved. But if they don't, there's not going to be another chance for them. Of the virgins that were 10, the 5 foolish and 5 were wise. Once the door was shut, the door was shut. And I know a lot of churches preaches this differently, but I got to tell you what God showed me. Who is the real seed of Abraham? Listen to me. You'll understand the book of Revelations way much better if you understand the book of Revelations, if you know who the Jews are. Who is the real seed of Abraham? Praise God. And upon this church, upon this rock, I'll build my church, the foundation being Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. In John chapter 8, it talks about how Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. They're trying to catch Jesus. They're trying to see what he'll do. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Jesus said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. So see, they're still standing there. Jesus was teaching them. If you look back at the beginning of this here chapter, it says Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. And in early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him and sat down and taught them. So then he tells them about the woman, and he tells them how she's caught in the very act of adultery. And now no one is to throw a stone at her because they all had sin. So then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees that were sitting amongst them being taught, therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. I'm going somewhere with this. I've got a point here. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, if ye believe not that I am he, he shall die in ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. He's talking to the Jews here. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. He's telling them, if you believe me, Jesus is saying to the Jews, who say that they are Abraham's seed, if you believe me, then you will be my disciples, is what he's telling them. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He's telling them face to face, people. He's telling them Jesus in the flesh, here on this earth, is speaking to the flesh, Jews. And he's telling them also that if you die in your sin, you'll be in your sin. You will not go where I go. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, we shall be free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. That's today also, church. It didn't change. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because of my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This is not Abraham. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't do this, he's telling them. See, the promise is to Abraham and to Abraham's seed, which was Jacob, Isaac and Jacob. Praise God. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceedeth forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil. He's talking to Jews here. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, talking about the devil. He just told him, ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Listen to this, people. This is Jesus talking. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, in Acts chapter 1, I believe it is, or maybe chapter 2, talks about the very ones that had crucified Jesus said to Peter, what must we do to be saved? The very ones that crucified our Lord, they knew that Jesus Christ was a Savior with the preaching of the Word. Praise God. And you know, that's how the Jews over in the country, Israel, is going to get saved today, is by the preaching of the gospel. They keep the Old Testament, and they don't have the New Testament. They omit that. They completely don't have it at all. They refuse to have the New Testament. But by the preaching of this gospel, praise the Lord, some of them Jews, just like them in Germany, them in Italy, those that are Catholic that are not born again, those people that are Methodist that are not born again. I'm talking about the people that are not born again. Those are the Gentiles. Today, we are the Jews. We are the ones. We begin to call upon Jesus at Seth. Praise God. And all down through the ages, praise the Lord, God had a people. And today, you and I are God's people. We are born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That is you. When you're born again, your name changes. You are now a Christian. They were called Christians at Antioch. Praise the Lord. When Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, his name changed to Israel. Praise God. Jacob meant deceiver, but then his name changed there when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. When you and I get born again, we become Israel, praise God. We are going to see Mount Zion, hallelujah. We are on Mount Zion. We are in the Lord, praise God. We don't stand over there on a mountain called Mount Zion. We are on the Lord's mountain, hallelujah. We are not looking for a city that is built by man's hands. We're looking for a city that's builder and maker was God. Hallelujah. We are that lively stone. We are the ones that fill up the building and the rock that Jesus is the foundation of. Praise God. We are the lively stones. You and I are the church. Praise God. The Jews, the Gentiles, if you want to call it. Now it says the first will be last. The last shall be first. Praise God. Them that are Jews, they need to get born again. If they're already born again, then praise God. There's only two kind of people. They're either saved or they ain't. You're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. Hallelujah. Praise God. Like Sister Gladys was reading to you a while ago, Galatians chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians. Now, this is talking to the Galatians. Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfectly by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by works of the law or by hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Listen at this. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. You and I, if you are born again, you are of Abraham. Praise God. You're more than drafted in. Praise God. You are the seed of Abraham. The natural seed, if there's any left, because everybody had scattered and they mixed with other countries and all, and they came back to be a nation. But their blood is mixed with Italian and Greek and all. The bottom line is, they have to be born again. The promise is to them that are born again. I'm going to skip down here and I'm going to find something for you. In verse 16 of Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to the seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the promise is to Abraham, and from Abraham to Christ. Praise God. You believe in him, in Jesus Christ. You are the seed of Abraham. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then serve the law. It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by the angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Praise God. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scriptures hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. And that came when Jesus came. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us into Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So that the Lord put that in there about Moses being led, the children in Israel. It was a type and shadow. Even the tribes, the 12 tribes came, praise God, out of Jacob. And how they, according to their works, they were the tribes of Benjamin, of Reuben, all the different tribes, praise God. And all these, this was natural. And all this was going into the promised land, which the promise came from God giving it to Abraham. Abraham himself, he was not even a Jew. Abraham, he was born to Tara at the age of 70. And there, the Bible talks about how the Lord told him to leave his kindred folk and to go to another land. Praise God. And how he wasn't, I'm just trying to make a point here, how he wasn't what we think of a natural Jew was. All it meant was that he believed in God. They began to call on God at Seth, and Seth had Enoch. Praise God. So when the Lord talks in the book of Revelations, for us to understand the book of Revelations, we must understand first who are the Jews. And chapter 7 talks about the 12 tribes. You and I, if you're born again, we are in one of the 12 tribes. All of us, all 12 tribes are in Judah, the tribe of Judah, because we have to come in through Jesus. But according to our works, is spiritually speaking, of what tribe that we're from, praise God. The Jews over there, they must be born again. Germany has to be born again. Italy has to be born again. Israel, over the natural Israel, that place, On the continent, there has to be born again. Africa has to be born again. No man can come to the Father except by me, Jesus says. For he is the door. He is the truth, the way, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Today is the day of salvation. Praise God. In the book of Revelations, praise the Lord. He's talking to the seven churches. These are people that are born again. But each of them had a condition that he found fault with, except the two, and that was Philadelphia and Smyrna. Praise the Lord. He told them to be overcomers. He told the five to be overcomers. And if they didn't overcome, then their names wouldn't even be in the Lamb's Book of Life. They would have to be overcomers by the word of their testimony, by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. God is so good. So here he also says in verse 28, if you want to read all of Galatians 3, that will help you. But verse 28 of chapter 3 in Galatians says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed, the heirs according to the promise. Praise the Lord. And I know I've taken up a lot of time here, and I see we have another caller. I haven't been able to look at the board here because I had my notes up on the computer, but 770 come in, and is that you, Brother John?
Yes, it is, Sister Green.
Praise God, yes, brother. I'm going to turn this over to you and let you obey God. Hallelujah.
Appreciate the opportunity. You know, the Bible speaks about that in the book of Acts, that they were of one mind, one accord, as Gustin called for counseling right before the program went on. So about the same time, they're getting ready to go on the broadcast. And praise the Lord. I know the Lord said that we leave the 99 go after the one. And that's what I was doing. So I praise the Lord that God, was able to really do a works. And appreciate the Lord. And as I turned into the broadcast, ever mindful of the one mind and one accord, and it is the one seed, as you were speaking of. God had dealt with me out of John chapter 8 and Galatians chapter 3, and I don't know what all the scriptures have been given, but he gave me several scriptures, and every scripture that you brought out tonight is a part of the scripture that the Holy Spirit was giving me. So, but I also wanted to, I don't know if it's been given already, but Romans chapter 2, but as you have brought out tonight, it's a single seed. It's a single seed. It's Abraham's seed, and single seed of faith, and it's a single seed of promise. This is a seed that has the promises of God in it. See, the Bible teaches us in Second Kings chapter 8, talks about that every promise of God has been brought to fulfillment. And we understand that in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham, by faith, was offering up his son Isaac, who had been his only begotten son, by promise. When we infiltrate, and you're talking about the flesh and the spiritual things, unfortunately, Abraham and Sarah being of the flesh and trying to, we get in trouble when we try to help the promises of God. The Bible says all the promises of God are yea and amen. When God promises, he doesn't need help to bring his promises about. But sometimes we think, and unfortunately, in the realm with Sarah and Abraham, they did have a child, not a promise, but a child of flesh through Hagar, the bondservant, and who belonged to Sarah, and she gave it into him, and they had Ishmael, of course, and the sins there. So we make a mess in our flesh, amen, and we birth things that's not a promise. But anyhow, God said he would bless them because they were of the natural seed of Abraham. But we're talking about the realm of the seed of promise tonight, of the actual seed of Abraham. And, you know, the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 2. It talks about talking about the Jews there in verse 21. It says, "Thou that therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking of the law dishonorest thou God." Do you honor, in other words, what it's asking here, do you dishonor God because you're asking men to keep the law, but yet in keeping the law, you're breaking the law yourself? Breaking the law of God, and just as Sister Green brought out earlier there, you know, they had in the natural realm, these men were in the natural realm of believe their lineage, in their lineage of their birth, their natural birth, amen, and just like she's brought out, yep, you must be born again. You cannot see this kingdom tonight without being born into this kingdom. The kingdom of God, amen, comes without observation, for the kingdom of God is within you. It's birth within you as the Holy Spirit overshadows you, even as he overshadowed Mary. Amen, and brought forth a birth. He said, talks about Isaiah chapter 9, amen. He says, "Unto you a child is born, and to you a son is given." We have to understand that son is given to us, and that child is given to us as the Holy Spirit overshadows us, as he overshadowed Mary. You have to understand that the Bible speaks of, in the book of Galatians, he said, "I espouse unto you as a chaste virgin." In other words, the body of Christ is the bride of Christ, who makes herself ready, is overshadowed by the Spirit of God. Amen. And so what it is as we are a chaste virgin, in other words, we haven't had relationships with other gods. You know, or bringing out about idol gods or even in our realms of religion, the things that we believe. So they were dishonoring the law they were breaking the law. It says, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law." In other words, they were talking about circumcision is a cutting away of the flesh. Amen. Natural realm. It's a type and shadow of cleansing. But the Bible said if you circumcision only profits you if you keep the law. If you don't keep the law, circumcision doesn't do anything for it. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. In other words, the works that we do within the law, if we break the law, the works that we've done within that natural law, or amen, or even the law of Moses, which was given to the Jews, hallelujah, we have to understand, amen, that if we break that law, that everything that we've done within that law, the Bible says if we are guilty of one, we're guilty of all. So we stand guilty before God. Hallelujah. So we need to know tonight that the things that we do under the work of the law, circumcision becomes uncircumcision when you break the law of the word. So therefore, the uncircumcision, which was the Gentile nations, keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? In other words, even though the Gentiles didn't know circumcision in that day and done no cutting away of the flesh in the natural realm, but even though if they kept the righteousness, which is by faith, which is comes through a seed, there's a seed of righteousness through the Lord Jesus Christ, then they come there, then even though they're uncircumcised, their uncircumcision becomes circumcision in that, because it's through the righteousness and faith of Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says in verse 27, and shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision thus transgress the law? In other words, you rebel against the law, or you rebel against the letter. There, you have this letter, you have this written, amen, in the letter. He says, verse 28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. In other words, circumcision was a formalism of the law, and being that circumcision, amen, was on the outward appearance. You need to know tonight that God doesn't look upon the outward appearance. When he was choosing a king, amen, of Israel, over Israel, amen, and went to the house of Jesse, amen, and here the son Samuel was sent to anoint the new king of Israel. Surely, at first of all, even though Samuel was a prophet, he was one of the first ones that before his time he had came, and the scriptures teaches us that he was called a seer, amen, but at that time, after that, he was called a prophet. As surely the man of God, Samuel, began to look at the elder brothers of David, and before he had seen the one who God had chosen, and he looked upon it, and the outward appearance, amen, and saw these men that seemed to be standing among other men, Samuel said with himself, surely this is the anointed of God. But God began to speak to him, Samuel, and told Samuel, he said, God doesn't look upon the outward appearance, but he looks upon the heart. He looks upon the heart, and even though David, amen, was an adulterer, even though David, he was a man after God's own heart, and that was through promise, because through the seed, because being the Lord Jesus Christ, who was through the seed of David, was also of the seed of Abraham, and we're going to learn about that in the next few scriptures. He said, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. In other words, he was a Jew inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart by the Spirit, not by in the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes in, makes you a Jew because it circumcises your heart. It cuts away the flesh, amen, and by the righteousness and the faith and the seed is planted in the heart. We understand that the sower went forth to sow. The sow, what did he sow? He sowed seed, which was his word of God. This is the righteous seed. The word of God is the promises of God. Every promise, amen, of God is put in the heart. There's a cut away. There's a circumcision. Amen. It's by the Spirit. The Spirit reaches in, even present day, as Moses was there on Mount Sinai, and the finger of God wrote in the tablets of stone. Now, afterwards, he said, afterwards, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and he'll write upon the tables of the heart. Amen. And what he done, he's taken this out, our heart of stone. He's taking out the hardness of a heart, as even as they were in the day of the provocation in the wilderness. Amen. And they hardened their hearts, even as Pharaoh hardened his heart, did not let the children of Israel go. But you need to know tonight, amen, that God, still with the finger of God, hallelujah, writes upon the tables of our heart and begins to write the word, even as David said. He said, hide thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, Lord. And amen, tonight, if you'll receive the hearing of this word, not only the hearing of the word, but you must be a doer. You must be a doer of the word of God. It's not good enough tonight for you just to hear the word of God of what Sister Gladys and the previous speakers here. I don't even know who's all on the broadcast tonight, but it's Sister Green. It's not only to hear the words that they spoke, because the words they spoke are the word of God. They're speaking what they've seen their father speak. The words that they spoke, all the speakers tonight, are not their words. It's the words of their father. Why? Because they are of Abraham's seed, single seed, through the Lord Jesus Christ. That makes us all brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter, just like Sister Green said, it doesn't matter your ethnic background or what country you're born in or what nationality you are or what race you are. The thing is that whether you're bond or Greek, just like she brought up, whether you're Greek or Jew, amen, this is your natural forces. This is your natural. But I'm talking about being born in the one kingdom, in the one body, one seed, through the seed of Abraham, because he was obedient, amen. Amen. He was counting him righteous. He was called a friend of God. Jesus said in John chapter 15, greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for a friend. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down his life on the cross at Calvary, amen, for Abraham and all his seed, amen. He laid down his life for all ones, but all of us have an opportunity to receive that seed within our lives. We have an opportunity to be born again, amen, through the cross of Calvary, receiving the blood of Jesus Christ, receiving a blood transfusion, one amoeba of blood that dropped at the cross of God. He said, except ye drink my blood and eat of my flesh, you have no part of me. How do you drink the blood of Christ? Opening up the word of God and opening up your mouth and opening up your heart and receiving, having communion. Communion is not wafers, it's not bread, it's not drinking of wine or grape juice. It is drinking the blood of the New Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ and eating of the Amen. Body of Christ, which is the word of God. That's true circumcision, and you can break the bread of life every day. Every time you open up the word of God, it is communion. Every time you open up the word of God and eat of that word of God, right now we're having communion all over this world. The Bible says that those that do not discern, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let a man first examine himself. He said some of you are weak, and some of you are sick, and some of you even sleep, in other words, death, because you have not discerned the Lord's body. You need to know tonight, amen, that you can take all the drink, all the grape juice, drink all the wine, eat all the wafers. That is man's natural thing of communion, but the true communion of Jesus Christ is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and the seed of Abraham will have communion. That's what we're doing, and amen, right now, if you'll receive the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll receive the body of Christ. You can have communion and sit at the Lord's table and be of Abraham. And see, and it's through the Spirit and through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, because everyone that sits at this table will be of the seed, singular seed of Abraham, will sit at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ through faith in Jesus Christ. And we find, amen, that the Bible says, and not in the letter, which praise is not of men, but of God. We have to understand the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 2. It talks about the incarnation of Christ in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. And he said, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The devil had power of the death. So what he did, he was a partaker of death. He gave power over death and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage through fear of death. Church tonight, we need to know something. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, talking about the prophecies, Sister Green brought out about the prophecies of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 12, the Bible says in that, the accuser of the brethren was cast out, who accused the brethren, the believers, the seed of Abraham, night and day. Amen. And he was cast into the earth. The Bible says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. And now has come the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, and they overcame him. How did they overcome the accuser? By the blood of the Lamb. and the word of their testimony. You cannot have a word of testimony. You can't have a testimony without the death of the testator. The death of the testator when Jesus Christ came. Amen. Just like Sister Green said. Amen. The Jews, amen, have the Old Testament, have the Old Covenant, but there's a new and better covenant, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's through the seed of Abraham by faith in the testator. This was the Lord's first and last testament, amen, for a testament, amen, the last will and testament of anyone else. It only gives life to the testament or the last will of anyone when the death of the testator of the will, in other words, the will is no good until someone dies. When Christ done, this is his will. This is his testament. This gives you the word of testimony, and this is the inheritance that we have. It's incorruptible seed. Amen, amen. And the inheritance is not materialistic things. It's not things upon this earth. But it is a seed, it is an inheritance that we have the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have the promises of Abraham, and amen. And even as Abraham even accounted unto him, the Bible said, he said in delivering that through the fear of death, as the Bible also says in Revelation, and who love not their lives unto death. For you to have eternal life tonight, church, you've got to lay down your life in this life. Just as Sister Green said, he that is first shall be last. The only way I can have eternal life, for me personally, I've already had to give up my life. I've already suffered that. Amen. It's just like they said. They didn't understand. Abraham, his physical body laid down. Abraham is much alive. What did he say? What did the God of Israel say in Exodus chapter 3? I am the God of Jacob, of Isaac, and Abraham. He said, who shall I say? I am the God of the living. He's not a God of the dead. He descended. Abraham's alive tonight. Jacob's alive tonight. Isaac's alive tonight. Their bodies are dead. The first tabernacle was laid down. They've been given a new tabernacle. They've been absent from the body, present with the Lord. In his presence is the fullness of joy. This is reserved to believers. This is reserved to the seed of Abraham. This is reserved to the Lord Jesus Christ, said, for verily he took not on him, this is talking about Christ now, the incarnate Christ, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Took on the seed. He didn't take on the nature. He didn't take on the nature of angels. Took on the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful, faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. At the cross of Calvary, he reconciled us back to the Father. He took on the seed of Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ, through faith in God himself. Believe God. Abraham's faith. For he himself has suffered being tempted. He is able to succor them that are tempted. In other words, he's able to take hold of you. We have a high priest tonight, church, that's been tempted with the same temptation we've been taking. No temptation has taken you, but such is common in the man. But we have a high priest who's been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We have a high priest tonight that has taken on the nature of man, the nature of flesh, but you had no guile. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. What seed? Seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. And was delivered of a child when she was past age because, here's the reason why, she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah, great woman, she still had to come to the seed. She had seed of Abraham, but it was because she had a faith in God the Father. She had a faith in Jesus Christ, who before he was even born, he had a faith in God's word. Church tonight, your position, your titles, your authority, I don't care what they are tonight. That doesn't move God. What moves God is that you are the seed of Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus took on himself what? The seed of Abraham, not the nature of angels. Then going on down there farther, the Bible says, hallelujah. You have to understand, so he said, therefore, in verse 12, he said, therefore, spring there up, even of one as him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, this was a promise to Abraham. When? When he was getting ready to give his inheritance to a servant. But it says, Sister Green brought out, guess what? The servant doesn't abide in the father's house forever, but the son abides forever. Abraham, you become my seed because you are my son. You are my seed because of faith. Faith was in Abraham. And he said, Abraham, your seed shall be as the sand of the sea, and the sky, the stars of the sky in multitude. Yet he had no child at this time of promise. And the Bible says this, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. What did Jesus say? John chapter 8, Abraham seen my day. Oh, he saw the promise of Jesus afar off. Tonight, church, are you seeing the promise of Jesus? Are you observing, but are they afar off? You know, at the night of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, Peter had been a disciple. Peter had been called. Peter had been chosen. You know what the Bible says? He followed him afar off. Too many, I feel by the word of knowledge and word of wisdom right now, there's too many of you tonight under the sound of my voice that are following Jesus afar off. You're trying to warm yourselves as Peter did in the house of the high priest. John walked on in, being of the house of Caiaphas and being a kindred of theirs. Peter walked in to warm himself. Peter walked in to do it. There's too many of you right now that are trying to draw close to God, but you're actually following them afar off. Tonight you need to become a seed of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. You need to be fully persuaded. You don't need to be denying Jesus Christ, because when it comes to the temptation, when it comes to the trial, many of you under the sound of my voice will deny the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, whosoever denied me before men, I will deny them before the Father. Take that denial out of your life and accept him and acknowledge him as the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of your life tonight. Abraham saw the promises afar off, even though he even received them, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's all we are today, church. This is not our home. Jesus said, this is not my kingdom. He was just passing through. This is just passing through time. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And there's going to be, he saw Jerusalem come down as a bride adorned adorned as a bride. For they, verse 14, for they which say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. We live in a country, but I'm seeking for a heavenly country. I live in what I deem the greatest country in the world. I know all of you live in your own country. You're going to deem them as the greatest country, and that's okay. I understand that. But I'm looking for another country. I'm looking for a heavenly country. Hallelujah. The builder and maker is God tonight. Hallelujah. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. They might have had opportunity to return if they'd been mindful of the country, the heavenly country. That's why Abraham was looking. He was told to come out of his own kindred, of his own nation. He was of the Chaldees. And he said, Abraham, go out to our land and get to our land that I would tell you. This was in the natural land. But, church, I'm calling you by prophetic utterance tonight. Come out of the places where you are right now, if it's not in Christ Jesus. Come out of those places. Come out of those places. Come out of those cities and come into a heavenly country whose builder and maker is the Lord Jesus Christ, where the seed of Abraham will dwell and live eternally. And the Bible said, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Not only he prepared for us a place, according to John chapter 14, but he prepared a city. Amen. Hallelujah. And that builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered him up his only begotten son, begotten of promise. It was according to him. And whom it was said that in Isaac shall I see be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. He received him in a figure. He received him in a shadow. Abraham, where are you going? I am the ladder going yonder. We're coming again. We're coming again. Abraham, the seed of Abraham, the seed of Jesus Christ, he saw the promise afar off. The Bible says when he looked up in his eyes in Genesis chapter 2, and he saw the place far off. That place was the Mount Moriah. And when he came up there, he bound Isaac. When they were walking up there, they had the fire and they had the wood. Even Isaac said, Father, here's the fire and here's the wood, but where's the sacrifice? Abraham's answer, was the answer of faith of a seed. He said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. That sacrifice was there. When they got there, Isaac literally laid down his life. He bound. He was obedient to his father. Bound even to the place of drawing the knife. There are some of you underneath the sound of my voice. You've laid down your life. You're at the point of death. Amen. The dagger's been drawn. But let me tell you right now, there's a ram in the bush for you right now.
Amen.
And that ram is Jesus Christ. That ram is Jesus Christ. And right now, the place where you've laid down your life has become the place of your provision, because right now, the Lord God has become your Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will see you provision, because already right now, the ram was already there. The ram was already caught in the thorns, and he fell among seed. He fell among the thorns, and they put the thorns on his head, and that ram was the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you receive him? Because of that seed, he took on the nature, amen, of death. He embraced death so that you have the promise of life. Are you of the seed of Abraham? It's only through one way. It's not of seeds, but it's of the seed of Jesus Christ. Do you have the ram tonight? And are you of the seed of Abraham? Go ahead, Brother and Sister Green.
Praise God. That was wonderful, Brother John. Wonderful preaching. If Pastor John's talking to you, you need to find a place to pray and take Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the only way that you're going to see eternity with heaven, in heaven. Praise God. There's an eternity, and you're either going to go one place or the other. You're going to either be in that place called hell, or you'll be in heaven walking the streets of gold and worshiping our Lord day and night, crying, holy, holy, praise God, as the angels do. And I'd want to go to that better place if I were you. And one day I had to make that decision, and I had to ask Jesus to come into my life to forgive me of my sins. Praise God. And he did that, just that. And then I walk daily, and I have to crucify this flesh daily. I have to take up my cross daily. Praise God. And not that God's blood can't do it. He did it. He done his part. He said, it is finished at the cross. Now I have to do my part. You have to do your part. And you have to keep your sins under the blood. And are we to sin every day? No, we do not sin every day. That is a false doctrine out there. Do we have a ticket to sin? No, we do not. Once saved, always saved? No. You can get out of the will of God. You, by sinning, can take yourself out of the Lamb's Book of Life. You have to, it's up to you to keep it there. Praise God. Jesus done his part. Now it's up to you to do your part. And that's not being mean, that's being truthful. So we have to watch ourselves daily and stay clean before God and holy before the Lord to make it in. He said if judgment starts first at the house of God, where does the sinner and ungodly appear? This is a straight and narrow way. Broad is the way to destruction. I need to take the straight and narrow way. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to come to you with a song by the McCameys. Praise the Lord.
This world is not my home, and no matter where I roam, I make it clear. I'm so glad that I can say I'm already on my way. I'm bound for the promised land. Yes, I'm bound for the promised land. Yes, I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, through the good times. And go with me to join the angel band.
Praise God. At this time, we're going to have Brother Green to come on, and then we're going to pray over all these prayer requests. Praise God.
Amen. It's good to be with you tonight, and I thank God for the preaching already that I've heard. It's been a great job bringing out who that children of Israel are, who is the real seed of Abraham, and we're the seed of Abraham tonight through faith in Christ Jesus. We look in the Bible, we try to find the definition of a Jew, and I'll tell you the truth, I found a book one time, I've read some books, studied some, and this old-time preacher said that the definition of a Jew was a true believer in Jehovah God, and I looked in my Bible, and I tried to find out what the true a definition of the seed of Abraham was, or a true Jewish person, Jew. And I find it here, and let me read it to you. It's in Romans, and it's in chapter 2, and it's in the 28th and 29th verse. Because, see, the Apostle Paul was one of the greatest teachers that ever lived. And I think when we try to find an answer, we need to go to the Bible, and what does the Bible say? And when Paul and them had, they had a question about the scripture, Paul, I believe it was Brother Paul there, the Apostle Paul said, "Nevertheless, what saith the scripture?" So you see, the scripture was a final foundation. I mean, it was a final authority. And when we preach and teach, we must take the last word on it has to come from the Word of God, because there's nothing else in this world that's more accurate than the Word of God. And it says here in Romans 2 and 28, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh." You remember Abraham had to... he received that circumcision there in the Old Testament there, and I forget what chapter that is, somewhere around the 15th chapter maybe, or 16 of the book of Genesis. And God had come down and talked to Abraham, and I might be able to find that. I believe that's where God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, and Abraham meant the father of many nations, and he was a true believer in Jehovah God. And I'm a-thinking myself here. He's first found in Genesis chapter 11. In the 26th verse, it says, "Abram was born to Terah at age 70. That's I hope I wrote that down right. It's in the 26th. Let me turn to that. Well, I probably don't have time, but... I believe Terah, Abraham's daddy, had heard the call of God also. And I believe that they were godly people. And Abraham heard the call and to get out from his kindred. And Terah was also with him, and they came out. And Lot came out also. And the Bible tells us after a time that Abram's daddy passed away, and Abram went on to come into the land of Canaan because he had a promise that he was to go to a place where God was going to show him. And he had that promise. And he not only had that promise, but he had other promises. The ones that's been mentioned tonight, how that through his seed, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And I'm blessed tonight because I found the seed of Abraham. And that seed of Abraham was Jesus Christ that died on that cross. He was that lamb that Brother John talked about in, I believe it's Genesis 22, when he said, "Take thy son, thy only son Isaac, upon one of the mountains," he said, "that I will show thee of." And he took him up there, and he took the wood and the fire. But where was the sacrifice? And as Brother John was mentioning there a little earlier, well, Isaac was that sacrifice. And the seed is in Isaac. And Isaac is the type of Christ. And he is the sacrifice. Jesus is that sacrifice. And I want to go on a little further here. In Romans chapter 2, he says, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh." See, you can be a religious person. You can be a Jewish person in the natural. You can put on all the stuff that they put on and do all the rituals that they do and eat all the different kind of meats that they eat and separate yourself from different things and do all that and still be unclean, still not be cleansed, because the only thing that can cleanse you from your sin is the blood that was shed on Calvary 2,000 years ago there on Mount Calvary outside of Jerusalem when they nailed him to that rugged cross and they took that crown of thorns and put it on his head. He was that sacrifice there. And Abraham said, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. And he did. He provided himself a sacrifice, but it was not a sacrifice for just Isaac. It was a sacrifice for all mankind of all ages, all through the ages. You'll never find a sacrifice that'll work for you, my friend, unless you find Jesus. He's the only sacrifice that'll save your soul from hell. And I'm telling you tonight, I love you out there tonight. And I hear preachers on the TV programs, and they'll say, my brothers, the Jews. Well, you're not a brother if you're not born again, because they went about to kill him. They went about to crucify Christ. He came into his own, but his own received him not. And as many as but it says there in John chapter 1, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And these are they which believe on his name." These is not people that is born into royalty and have certain kind of blood flowing through their veins, but this is people that are born again by the Spirit of God. And when we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, and we come sincerity, and we come humble, and we come praying, and we come repenting of our sins, and we say we're laying down the world, we're taking up Christ, we're going to serve you, Lord. That's what it takes to be born again. That's what it takes to become a Jewish person, a seed of Abraham, because the Bible said there's neither Jew nor Greek or bond or free. It doesn't really matter. You must be in Christ. There's only one salvation, and that is in the body of Christ. If I was a Jewish person, that would not make me better than you if you was Italian or if you was German or anything like that. No, that wouldn't make me any better. I just thank God that Jesus is the one that'll make you fit for the kingdom of heaven, and he'll give you eternal life. And when we call on the Lord Jesus Christ, accept that sacrifice that was given at Calvary. When we accept that sacrifice, then and start drawing nigh to God. As Brother John said, we've got to draw nigh to God. When I got saved, I got me a Bible. I started reading that Bible. I started finding out what's in the book. What's it? What kind of life am I supposed to live? I go by whatever preacher said coming down the track, because they all said different things. And I can't follow the blind, because the blind lead the blind, and they'll all fall in the ditch, Jesus said. I asked a man one day at work, I said, what about, do you read your Bible? He said, no, I don't read my Bible. I just go by what the preacher says. I said, what if the preacher's wrong? I said, what if he's wrong and you don't know it? You're going to be led astray and you'll both fall in a ditch. But I tell you, we can be religious and not be saved. We can put on our religious garments, whatever they might be. You know, certain religions do certain things, and they carry these little smoke buckets around, you know, and they go down the aisle and they try to bring cleansing through certain kind of rituals and things, and you know, you might drink holy water or something like that, I don't know, or get sprinkled so many times with something or another, but that won't cleanse you from sin. You've got to get down to business. You've got to go to the main person, that main character, and that main one is God Almighty through Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. There is no other way. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And if we want to be the real seed of Abraham, we've got to go and find the seed of Abraham, which is Christ. We must be hid in Christ. And there's only one way to get in, and that's through repentance and prayer and faith toward God. And we'll get faith if we'll get in our Bible. The Bible tells me in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I wouldn't take some man's opinion for it. I'd find it out for myself, because you can't afford to lose out on eternal life. This is one chance you've got to make it. And if you don't make it, you'll be lost forever, and you'll never have an exit out of that place that the Bible calls hell. For hell was not made for man, but Jesus said it was made for the devil and his angels. And I will tell you tonight, we're preaching this because we love you. We haven't beat around the bush tonight and tell you you're all right if you don't know Jesus, because we want you to know you can get acquainted with him. You can find him down on your knees, and you can find him at an altar of prayer. You don't need somebody to go and confess your sins to. You need to confess them to God Almighty, to the mighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the one that is able to save. And I know I ain't giving you much Bible tonight, but I tell you, there's been a lot of things said tonight, good things. And amen. People have said who the seed of Abraham is, and Christ is that seed. There's salvation only in him. And if you don't make it the first trip, you ain't going to make it. We can't tell you that you're going to have a second chance. That's a pretty dangerous doctrine, my friend. If you wait till the church is gone, I don't know if you'll get a change. I don't know if you'll be able to find salvation. I wouldn't want to take that chance, my friend.
No way.
I wouldn't want to wait till the mark of the beast is here and the Antichrist is putting pressure on people. And you can see the forerunner of it now when you look into our government and other governments around the world and into different things. They want you to take chips in your hands and in your foreheads, and they want to mark you, and they want to be able to track you. And I know I ain't making people happy right now, probably, but let's look at our Bible. The Bible said that he causeth all to take a mark in their right hand or their forehead, and that they couldn't buy or sell except they took the mark. You look at it in Revelation 13. It's time this country turned around. It's time people started to get back in their old King James Bible. They begin to read, and they begin to see the signs of the times and know that Jesus is coming soon. And he's got, surely, my friend, he must be coming soon when we see all these things coming to pass. And we see leadership changing laws and people hating Christians, and they can't preach on the street corner. And they don't want them to take the name, to use the name of Jesus when they pray. They say it's all right to pray to God, but don't pray in the name of Jesus. Well, He's the only one you'll pray and get any results is in the name of Jesus, because there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's what the apostles said in the book of Acts. I believe it was 4:12. And they said, you can't pray in this name. And they said, we're gonna obey God rather than men. I tell you, you may go through the fiery furnace, but I'll tell you, you'll come out a winner on the other side. And praise God. I want to thank the Lord for healing my body. And I've been down. I've been sick and afflicted. But I'm telling you one thing. The Lord has touched me. And I want to thank God for it. I give him all the glory. He's the God that healeth thee. And he's a mighty God. And I tell you, if you're sick out there tonight, I want you to take the name of Jesus. I want you to get down to business. Call on God and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And turn me from my wicked ways and help me to do the right thing and forgive me for my attitude and all these things that I do wrong. And Lord, change me and mold me and make me. And I'm giving my life to you, Lord. I'm turning my life to you. You're the way, the truth, the life. There's no life outside of Christ. He is the life. He's all our life tonight. If you want eternal life, you have to be in Jesus. If you've got to leave this world, you know, unexpectedly, you need to know that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, that your life is hid in Christ, that you've given him your everything, that he's yours and you're his and you're one in him. I'll tell you tonight, I feel sorry for people tonight that don't know Jesus. It's a sad thing when people die lost, I'll tell you. When you know that all they had to do was pray, all they had to do was seek God and call on him to save their soul. You're just one prayer away tonight from salvation. If you're lost, you can be found. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He went about doing good, healing people and showing that he had the power to heal and that he was the Son of God, that he had the he rose from the dead. He has the power of the resurrection. And because he lives, we shall live also if we're his seed. And we are his seed if we accept him as a personal Savior. And we come clean with God. We must come clean with God. We can't be beating around the bush and telling people things that's a lie or a halfway truth. We've got to come clean with God. We've got to lay aside all sin. He said to lay aside every weight and the sin that thus easily besets you and run with patience the race set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross and despised the shame and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee or begotten you. It's Hebrews chapter 1 and 2. He's saying he didn't send no angel. He sent his only son into this world. Before Abraham was, he said, I am, over there in John chapter 8, I believe it was. Joanna read earlier. I think Brother John might have spoke about it. And I don't know who else, but we thank God for you for coming on here. And I don't know how much time I do have. I got 6 minutes left, and I'm thankful tonight for all you that called in. I had 2 appointments I had to make today in case anybody's listening in, and they were both at the same time. And you probably know who I'm talking to if you're out there listening in. I want to apologize that we didn't get over to the one appointment. And I can't do 2 things at the same time, but I thank God that he's a good God, and we're praying for you, and we're grieved also about this loss that I'm speaking about, and you know all about it. Well, we're praying for the family and everything, and I want to turn it back over to Joanna here.
Thank God. He's speaking of, we've been turning in prayer requests for little William, a 2-year-old that was diagnosed with a brain tumor on his brain stem, and he passed, I believe it was December the 28th, and today was the funeral. Since then, the mom, she has given birth to another son. He's just now a few days old, and this is just a sad time for anybody to have to go through this. And on December the 21st, the mom and the dad, both my cousins, the daddy is my cousin and the little boy is a third cousin of mine, given their hearts to God. So pray that they'll be strong in the Lord and God will begin to just teach them and show them the good things of the Lord. And all his promises are yay and amen. I want to turn in some more prayer requests. John Craven said, pray for him. He's been so sick. Lodima Dyke Leather says, pray for her husband. They found a mass in his chest. She's praying for his healing, so we're praying as well for his healing. And Sister Gladys tonight says, pray for her uncle Gary. He has a softball-sized cancer next to his appendix, needs healing. All these cancers, I tell you, it makes you wonder. But I know the devil has but a short time, and he is trying to his best. If he can't tempt you with sin, he's trying to afflict your body. And we are overcomers by the word of our test, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. Praise God. Sister Gladys is also asking for prayer for, I have to refresh my screen. We've got 4 minutes here to pray, and it's not going to let me do it. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we ask that you please, dear God, move upon these sicknesses, Lord. All these prayer requests have been turned in, Lord. God, only you can do this, God. To you be all the glory, Lord. And let the report of the Lord, God, be a good report, God. Let the one we believe, your report, God. We thank you, Lord, for this broadcast. We thank you for every soul, Lord, that's been touched. And ask, Lord, that you save and that are lost. All these people that need a healing, God, if they're not saved, we ask, dear Lord, to save them. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, dear Lord. Have your way, dear God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Pray to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, we bind these up.
Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
It's going through the land. We command it to cease in the name of Jesus. And
yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
And every soul body, Lord, moving the churches, Lord, across the world, Father. Bless you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And we have a caller, 937, come in and tell us who you are and go ahead and obey God.
Yes, I wanted to say that here in at the over here in Matthew 25, it says that at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Now, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone. But I just wanted to make the point there that read this, and you will see that one day the door will be shut, and no one else can enter. So now today is the day of salvation. That's what the word says. Today is the day of salvation. And one day that door of mercy will be shut, and no one else can enter in. So get your lamps ready. Get your souls ready. Believe in Jesus Christ as the sacrifice of us all, and you shall be saved. Praise the Lord. Give it back to you, Joanna.
Praise God. That's my mommy. She cut out there in the very beginning, but that's my mom, and I thank God for her. We've had many Bible studies together, and I thank the Lord that I've got a praying mom, one that's going to teach me and tell me the truth. And we want to tell you the truth tonight. Once that door of mercy has been shut, there is no other chance. Once the rapture takes place, once Jesus comes back for his church, for his bride, that is it. It is over. There's no second chance for the nation over there that is called Israel. Today is that day. Today is that day of salvation. They must come in at the door as we that are born again have come in at the door before he comes back. Praise God. And until next time, we'll see you next Friday. Remember Brother Yearwood's broadcast on Tuesdays at 6 p.m., and we'll see you all next Friday at 10 p.m., the same time. Hallelujah. God bless y'all all week through. Hallelujah. Good night.